It's great to hope for the best, but it's even better to prepare for the worst. Hi, I'm Rob West. Are you prepared for a worst-case scenario with the assets you've worked hard to build up, or could you lose them with a single mishap? Today, I'll tell you an inexpensive way to protect yourself. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. You know, Proverbs 27:12 talks about this. It reads, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." We always tell you that having insurance in general is prudent. But today I want to talk about the prudence of having a particular type of insurance that many homeowners fail to take advantage of. It's coverage that protects your assets from catastrophic lawsuits, and it's most commonly referred to as an umbrella policy. As the name implies, an umbrella policy gives you extra liability coverage for you and your family beyond what you have with your homeowners and auto insurance policies. Does everyone need it? Maybe not, but more people than you might expect. If you've been working hard to build up assets in your retirement fund and the equity in your home, it's entirely possible that you need an umbrella policy, especially when you consider that a civil judgment against you could even include future earnings. Now, you might think you're adequately covered by homeowners and auto insurance, and that your home is protected from lawsuits by state law. That's usually the case, but not always. For example, New Jersey and Pennsylvania have no homestead protection. You might also think that your employer-sponsored retirement plan, like a 401k, has immunity from lawsuits and creditors. And that's true under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA. But non-ERISA plans, like traditional or Roth IRAs, don't have the same level of protection. So that's another reason to consider an umbrella policy. How exactly does an umbrella policy work? Well, I'll give you an example. You're driving down the road and your smartphone chimes with a text message. You know you're not supposed to text while driving, but you're curious about what the text says. With a momentary lapse of judgment, you look down to see and you don't notice that traffic is stopped at a red light ahead. As a result, you rear in the car in front of you. That causes a chain reaction with two or three cars running into those ahead of them. The next thing you know, several drivers are complaining of whiplash. But you're not worried because you have $500,000 coverage with your auto insurance policy. The problem is, between costly repair bills and medical costs, your liability quickly goes beyond that $500,000. And worse, now one of the drivers ahead of you decides to sue you for emotional trauma caused by the accident. You're on the hook for everything that exceeds the limit in your auto insurance policy, which could be sizable. Given how common lawsuits are in this country, it would not be prudent to think this can't happen to you. But with an umbrella policy, coverage kicks in and pays off everything above your auto insurance limit, not just for repairs and medical costs, but also any judgments, plus attorney and court fees, usually up to $1 million. For example, in the area of bodily injury, most umbrella policies would protect you in the case of the auto accident I described, but also if your dog harms someone, or a guest falls in your home, or a neighborhood kid is injured while playing in your yard. And of course, an umbrella policy would cover the cost of damage caused to other people's property in the event of an accident where you're at fault. This type of coverage could also be a lifesaver if you own rental property. It would protect you from liability claims if someone is injured on your property, or even if your tenant's dog bites someone and you're held responsible for it. And yes, that could happen in today's litigious society. Another thing that an umbrella policy might cover could be quite unexpected, a judgment for slander or libel, which are injurious spoken or written statements. A note of caution here, be careful what you say about someone on social media. Now, you probably think that any policy that protects you from all these potential disasters would have to be expensive, but actually, umbrella policies are quite reasonable. For up to $1 million in coverage, you're probably going to pay $150 to $300 a year. You might even find it cheaper if you have an independent insurance agent shop around for you. So those are some pretty good reasons for planning ahead and getting an umbrella policy. Remember, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman, here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. I just received a call from a truck driver who's hauling a load across Colorado and had to give me a call to give me a praise report. I met Dan through a waitress at a Cracker Barrel in Springfield, Missouri. Now we're brothers in the Lord. But it was tragedy that put us together when we asked our server if she had anything we could pray about. She immediately broke down telling us about her friend Dan in the midst of his darkest moment. She gave Dan my phone number, and when he called, I discovered Dan's a car guy who loves God and already knew who I was. God spoke through me to Dan and his wife that day to restore their faith. Now he calls to encourage me. What if I hadn't asked that servant, is there anything we could pray for you about? Dan and I would have both missed God's blessings. So here's the deal. We always need to be obedient to God's nudge. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Do you ever feel stressed or anxious about money? If so, that's normal. But you don't have to accept that. You can find peace of mind and financial security. Learn how with the 31-day devotional, Money Seeking God's Wisdom. You'll find daily questions to reflect on and practical exercises paired with scripture for spiritual and financial growth. Right now, you can request your copy of the Money Seeking God's Wisdom 31-Day Devotional with a gift of any amount at moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is the program where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. The things you're dealing with every day as you live and give and owe and grow. That's right. We can take all of these decisions you have to make every day in the short term and the long term related to money, which seem unlimited, and we can boil it down. We can simplify them to that which we live on, our lifestyle. That which we give, both systematically and sacrificially. That which we owe for specifically debt and taxes, and that which we grow, our savings, that is our short-term emergency savings, or even longer-term, like maybe a college savings account, or even retirement, our long-term savings. Well, as we look at each of these, God's Word speaks to every one of them, and together in community, we want to find God's heart related to our money. Now, we don't want to just pull these principles out so we can enrich ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard. In fact, that was part of God's design before the fall. There's nothing wrong with making money. In fact, the Bible says it's the Lord who gives us the power to make wealth. It all comes from Him, so there's nothing wrong with that. The question is, what is it doing to our hearts? And we ultimately want to live out these principles so that, yeah, we can provide for ourselves, and yes, we can give generously, but also so we can be drawn into a more intimate relationship with the Father. And if that's not our ultimate objective, then I think we're missing it. Because when we look at the counsel of Scripture, we realize God was always about, has always been, and always will be about our hearts. And money, I've found, is one of the key ways that God shapes that. You see, our financial journey is a key way God shapes our spiritual journey. And so if the way we work out our money decisions is, in many ways, a training ground of the heart, what are we doing to lean into that? And how is God at work in our financial lives? Have we invited Him in? And is He doing a new work in our hearts as we work out our priorities and values through our financial decisions every day? That's what we're after here at MoneyWise as we gather together. What questions are on your mind? We'd love to hear from you. Pat Montague standing by to receive your phone calls today. We'd love to get your question on the air. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. All right. Hey, we started today by talking about preparing for the worst. Now, not the most upbeat topic, but we did offer a solution, an inexpensive one at that, for all intents and purposes, an umbrella policy. Often folks miss the opportunity to put that extra protection in place, and they pay the price for it. So check that out. But if all of that is a little overwhelming or you have questions, well, maybe you need to connect with a professional who can help you navigate your financial life. Here at MoneyWise, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's the gold standard designation in the financial services industry for financial, insurance, and legal professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to give biblically wise financial advice as a part of their practice. They've met high standards in training, competency, character, and experience. And you can find a local CKA professional by going to our website, moneywise.org, and just click Find a CKA right at the top of the page. I'd interview two or three, find the one that is the best fit for you, and see if that might be what you're looking for in terms of added peace of mind, greater planning, investment management, and all of your professional financial decisions you need to make. Again, moneywise.org, click Find a CKA. All right, let's head to the phones. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to begin today in Ohio. Minnie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I cared for my mom for 17 years, and she passed away real fast. And so I signed up for Social Security a couple years after that, and I'm only getting 240. I wanted to know if I should go on a temporary disability. I have been in a car accident years ago, and I've got bone on bone with my knees, and I've got bone spurs on my heels, and it's hard for me to walk right now. Mm. I want to work, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, if you qualify,
and I don't want to be dependent on the state.
Sure.
I just don't know if I should go on temporary disability. It would make my income up to 860 instead of 240, but I just don't know what I should do.
Yeah. Well, if you qualify for it, obviously, despite popular belief, the requirements for disability are quite strict. But if you qualify, I would say absolutely. I mean, that's what it's intended for. And if you're in a situation where you really can't work, then I would say, you know, take full advantage of that. If the Lord allows you to go back to work, perhaps down in the future, once you if this is able to be resolved either medically or the Lord heals you and you're able to go back to work, then I would absolutely do so. And as you work, as long as you're paying into the Social Security system through your FICA taxes, you can actually see your benefits increase as you contribute more into the system. But it doesn't sound like that's an option right now. And if that's the case because of your health condition, then I would say take full advantage of that disability.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I just
absolutely.
don't want to depend on Egypt and not depend on God. You know what I mean?
I hear you. And I totally understand that. And I think you coming into this with that heart attitude says everything about what your ultimate intentions are. And let's just trust the Lord that He's going to bring healing to your body. And perhaps there will be a different season ahead where you can go back to work. But in the meantime, if you can't, you need to provide for yourself. And that's what this is here for. It's why you pay into the system. And it's not like you're trying to take advantage of anything. So we're going to ask the MoneyWise community to be praying for your health, Minnie, but we appreciate you checking with us today. And if we can serve you along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. 800-525-7000 to Texas. Julio, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. We appreciate you being on the program.
Excellent. Yes, sir. Hey, I just wanted to make people aware. I don't know what PayPal's business it is to be probing into my my stuff online, but I'd like to read you what they're saying after not agreeing with them politically, I guess. At the end of one of their clauses, it says, if you have funds in your PayPal balance, we'll hold it up for 180 days. After that period, we'll email you with information on how to access your funds. We regret any inconvenience this may cause. I don't think they do, but they got to say that, I guess. But yeah. Hey, I just wanted to make people aware of that and just let them know if they're able to right now, go ahead and check it out.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, I appreciate you calling that out. It's an important point, whether it's PayPal or anyone else, that we need to be reading the fine print. And if we see something we don't like, to let them know. This actually happened in another case with PayPal recently, where they came out with some information, whether it was intentional or not, and because of the backlash, they changed it. And it had to do with what a lot of folks were calling discrimination, threatening to fine them for misinformation. Now, there was this huge backlash, and PayPal basically rescinded the policy and said, and this is a quote, an unacceptable use policy notice recently went out in error that included incorrect information. PayPal is not fining people for misinformation, and this language was never intended to be inserted into our policy. We're sorry for the confusion this has caused, end quote. So I think the point here is that we need to speak up for our values when we see things that we disagree with, and we need to be reading the fine print, which oftentimes we just gloss over. So Julio, thanks for calling that out today. We appreciate you mentioning it to our audience. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'll head right back to the phones for more of your questions today on anything financial, just on the other side of this break with a few lines open. Again, the number to call, 800-525-7000. Let me mention, MoneyWise is listener supported. That means what we do every day is a result of your support. If you would consider a gift, we'd be grateful. Just head to our website, moneywise.org, and you can click give right there at the top of the page. We'll be right back with much more after this break. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us on a Monday morning. I'm Rob West, your host. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open today, a few of them actually, for your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head to the phones. To Kansas we go. Elsie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Grandson turning 15 shortly, and I was wondering what I can do as a small gift of money to get him interested in investing kind of things. What would be your suggestion?
Yeah, very good, Elsie. A few questions. So I assume you want this to be more broadly available than, for instance, specifically college. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
It's mostly, I'm thinking mostly just as a learning thing for him.
Yes. Okay, very good. And then secondly, we've got to determine the type of account to put it in. I generally recommend you put it in an account in your name, but separate and earmarked specifically for him, as opposed to a custodial account. There are some tax benefits to that, but it does become his asset at the age of majority, regardless of what decisions or choices he's made and or making and his maturity level. But would you like for it to automatically be his, or do you want a little bit more control over it at that point?
Could I put his parents in control?
You could, yes. Yeah. So they would open the account. You could fund it. They would put it in their names, perhaps jointly with him as the beneficiary. But then they would determine when he actually can take control of the money or take it out. If it's in a custodial account at the age of usually 18, the age of majority in your state, it would automatically be his asset. And if he wanted to take it out and buy a sports car, he could. So I think that's something to think through as to whether or not to put it in a custodial account or not. With regard to the investments, Elsie, once the account's opened, I like the idea of you using this as a learning tool. You want somebody who can walk alongside him in that process to understand what investments are, how they work, and to be able to watch the account and hopefully develop some excitement for compound growth over time, which will serve him well in the future if he learns that lesson today. I'll send you a book as our gift that you can use, or his parents, either one, to kind of walk alongside him in this process. It's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And it's based on biblical wisdom, but it offers all of the principles and ideas around how you invest in terms of not only the biblical approach, but just the financial literacy side as well. What are investments? How do they work? How does compound interest work? What's a stock versus a mutual fund? So we'll send that out to you. If you stay on the line after this call, we'll get your information. And that could be a great guide to journey with him in this process. Once the amount has been deposited into the account, whether that's in your name or his parents, then I think at that point, you'd want to go ahead and get him involved and then make the purchase of the investments. I would probably not, even though it may be more interesting to him, I would probably not buy individual stocks just because with a small amount of money, you'd be too highly concentrated in one company. And that's not teaching the principle of diversification, which is really key for him moving forward. So I'd probably buy a mutual fund. And what you may want to do is look at one of the faith-based investing funds, which is where they're going to invest in companies that specifically have a purpose to promote human flourishing and, you know, make a positive impact in the world. At the same time, they're buying companies that, you know, are focused on value creation. So they're going to do very well in terms of long-term performance. And if you wanted to do that, you could look at some of the fund families on our website at moneywise.org, like Eventide or Timothy Funds. You could look at even Guidestone. Each of these fund families have world-class mutual funds, Elsie, but they specifically have a purpose to avoid companies that might conflict with Christian values, and they specifically buy companies that promote, you know, a positive impact in the world. How does that sound?
That sounds good. You're suggesting a mutual fund instead of an investment.
I am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yeah, that wouldn't be considered an investment account then, right?
Say that again.
That wouldn't be considered an investment account if it's in a mutual fund.
Well, it would. So there's the type of account, and then there's the investments inside the account. So the type of account I'm suggesting is either an individual or a joint account, either in your name or his parents' name with him as the beneficiary. So that's just a taxable account. And then the investments inside the account, you have a choice here where you could buy individual stocks, or you could use a mutual fund, which is essentially a basket of stocks. And I'm suggesting that once you deposit the money into the investment account that's created for his benefit, then you purchase a mutual fund, and that's going to give him broad diversification among lots of investments so that his money or the performance of that investment is not at the risk of one particular company that might have a bad quarter or be out of favor for a period of time and may suffer some losses. Does that all make sense?
It does, pretty much. And it sounds like Sound Mind Investing Handbook will be a good place to start and maybe be good for me, too.
I think it'll be a great resource. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and then send it out to you. And then as far as the investments go, I would probably look at Eventide. I think that might be a really interesting fund family for him and you all to choose a mutual fund from. These are faith-based investing funds that are award-winning, but they really have a great story behind each of the investments that they pick in terms of how they're making a positive impact in the world. Hey, let us know how that goes, and I'm delighted to hear that his grandmother is taking such a proactive interest in training him to be a wise steward of God's money down the road. So stay on the line. We'll get your information, Elsie, and we'll get that book right out to you. And God bless you very much. We've got to take another quick break. When we come back, Rhonda, Joe, Bill, we're coming your way. A quick email before we do that, though. We receive emails all the time at questions@moneywise.org, and we try to get as many of them on the air as we can. This comes from Ed. He writes, do you prefer term or whole life insurance for a young couple in our 30s with kids? Ed, absolutely term insurance. It's pure insurance without getting muddled up with an investment component. It's cheap, much cheaper than whole life, so you can easily purchase the amount you need to protect your family, which at a minimum is 10 to 12 times the income you're trying to replace. So this is going to allow you to fit it right into the budget and then do your investing on the side outside of an insurance policy. That's my best advice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, all the lines are full. We'll get to your questions just around the corner right here on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Praise is a weapon. You and I get to choose how we respond to persecution. We can respond in anger, or we can resolve to worship and amplify the values of God's kingdom. When the time comes, I pray that you and I will have the courage to make the right choice.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The World of the End, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. To Mississippi we go. Hey, Rhonda, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, I'm calling about how to replace dormant stock certificates. And somebody else had told me of a company that could do it without a fee, but and when he told me, my pen wouldn't work, and I didn't get it written down. Hmm. And he later died of COVID, I think.
Hmm. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, so do you have the physical certificates, Rhonda?
No, my brother took mine away from me, and I don't know. He probably threw them out because a lawyer told him they weren't any good anymore because they were dormant. See, my mother never collected any profit from them.
Okay.
She just collected them, and she had they were in her name. And she had them covered in plastic, so they were in good shape.
Yes.
I do know the names of some of the companies.
Okay. Well, you could, there are stock search companies. Generally, I mean, all the ones that I'm familiar with will do this investigative work for you for a fee. And so you could engage somebody to do that for you. You could try to do some of the legwork yourself. Ideally, you'd get your hands on at least those stock certificates or the what's called the CUSIP numbers, C-U-S-I-P, the CUSIP numbers on each stock. Each stock certificate has a unique identifier. And then you could contact.
How do I find that number?
Yeah, well, the best way is, I mean, you've got to have the certificate itself. So if you don't, then the other approach would be to contact the company that you're aware of and ask for investor relations and have them do a search for the registered name of the shareholder to see if you can identify it that way. But if for some reason you're able to contact your brother or brother-in-law and get the actual certificates, if they still exist, maybe he didn't throw them away, he just filed them somewhere, then those CUSIP numbers would make it really easy for you to chase this down. But if you don't have them, it's either going to take a search company or you're going to have to go to those companies directly if they're still in existence and see if they can do a search for you.
I can give you the names of three of them, Disneyland, McDonald's, and AT&T.
Well, those haven't gone anywhere. So I would absolutely see if you can do a search. Each of those companies, Rhonda, will have an investor relations department, and you could get that telephone number off of each of their websites. Call investor relations, tell them what you've got, and see if they can help you chase down the CUSIP number for the shareholder, which was your mom, it sounds like, and see if they can help you get this resolved. If you have the CUSIP number, then you can actually call a brokerage firm, one of the major firms, and have them connect your certificate to the company into the account and essentially bring it in electronically. But it all starts by you identifying the actual shares and the CUSIP number related to the certificates. So I would reach out to each of those companies and see if they do a search for you and let us know how it turns out. Rhonda, we appreciate you being on the program today. God bless you. Let's see, Wilmington, North Carolina. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
No, actually, Jacksonville, North Carolina, home of the East Coast Marine Corps.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Quick question. I'm sure you get this a couple times, you know, in a month, if not once a week. Just I haven't heard anybody ask it. But when I turn 70 and a half, I will have money left in my traditional. Now, I'm about 80% Roth right now, and what I've been doing is on my federal income tax, I generally get a refund of $1,000, but I've been using that $1,000 to roll over currently my Roth into or my traditional into Roth.
Yeah.
And I can do about $70,000 or I can do about $7,000 a year doing that.
Yes.
And so I'm going to fall short when I turn 70 and a half. Thus, I will have a minimum monthly withdrawal at that time on my traditional. That said, are there any vehicles? Okay, I do the withdrawal, and I know I'm going to get taxed for it. But are there any vehicles that at the end of the year that I could use as a deduction because I do itemize on my federal?
Yes, there really isn't. I mean, obviously, anything you do as a deduction is going to reduce your taxable income, of which this distribution would be added to your adjusted gross income as it comes out. But so if you itemize, you would be reducing all of your AGI, but not specifically this required minimum distribution. One thing, though, that you might consider, Joe, is what's called a qualified charitable distribution. Are you familiar with that term?
I have heard that term, and I'll tell you what, rather than tie up other phone callers, if you could give me a reference, you know, if there's a book out there or something like that.
Well, you could just, let me tell you quickly, but I'll just, if you Google qualified charitable distribution, you'll find hundreds of articles that explain what it is. But here's the idea that I'm suggesting. If you're doing your giving out of cash, out of current cash flow. So let's say you're giving a tithe to the church or you're supporting a ministry or charity that's on your heart, and you would normally do that out of your current cash flow or out of, you know, savings or, you know, checking. What if you do it directly from the IRA in lieu of that money that you would have been giving out of cash? What that does is it transfers directly to the ministry or charity. It satisfies the required minimum. They get the full benefit upon the sale once they receive it. And then you get to miss adding that to your AGI. So it's not it's not a taxable distribution to you. You satisfy the required minimum. And if you do it in lieu of money you were going to give out of, after tax money, then you've essentially offset that tax you would have otherwise paid with the same money you were going to send to your church anyway.
Yeah, I'll look into that. So it's a qualified charitable contribution.
Distribution, qualified charitable distribution, QCD
distribution.
Is the term. Yeah, QCD. And it's a great option. Once you have a required minimum, you just have that go directly from the brokerage firm who has the IRA directly to the ministry or charity or your church. And it'll satisfy that required minimum. And then, you know, if you use it to offset cash you would have been giving otherwise, you've essentially done the minimum that you needed to, but you haven't added anything to your AGI for the year.
Right, right. Yeah. So if I could take a percentage of that, give it to my go that way with my church, and then the balance that remains for that given month will be reflected on my AGI when I do my taxes.
Yeah, that's right. But you could do a kind of some bunching here. So if you were to say, listen, here's the amount I would give to my church over the next 6 months or 12 months, and I give all that at once in lieu of what I would have been giving monthly. I mean, there's, you know, a way even to satisfy, to do the full amount of your RMD to the church, and then, in lieu of what you would have been doing over a series of months out of current cash flow. So something to think about.
Yeah. Well, look at when we get to that point. But I'm okay. Still, if something still comes up, I'm going to try and knock out that traditional by age 69 anyway, get it in the Roth one way or another.
I think that's a great idea because then you've already paid the tax on it, probably at the lowest tax rates we'll see for a long time. If they go anywhere from here, they're going up. I feel pretty strongly about. So this is a good time to recognize that income. And as you know, once it gets in the Roth, then you don't have that required minimum any longer, and you could just let that money continue to grow. So I like the way you're thinking here, Joe, but Google qualified charitable distribution or call your brokerage firm, and they'll give you all the information you need to get that done. Thanks for checking in with us today. This is MoneyWise, our final segment just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever driven through the desert? The American Southwest is full of them. Hot, dry, hardly any shade to be found. Can you imagine traveling across these lands in a covered wagon on your way to California or Oregon? The pioneers had to be made out of tough stuff, but even the toughest can't survive without water. That was one of Israel's problems in the Old Testament, and I don't mean physical water. Here's what the Lord said. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Don't forsake the spring of living water. Come to Jesus. Never thirst again. That's His promise to you. Get Anchor devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions here in our final segment today with lines open. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We can get you on quickly at 800-525-7000. Whatever you're thinking about today, financially speaking, we'd love to chat with you. Hey, one of the things we have challenges with is dealing with both prosperity and adversity. Roman historian Sallust, writing in the first century BC, said this, and I quote, "Prosperity tries the souls, even of the wise." You see, financial prosperity has its temptations. Pride, greed, and selfishness can clog our hearts if we forget our first priority, and that is to love God. But what about adversity? You know, facing hardships without wisdom can also lead to heart problems. It can lead to self-pity or bitterness, even hopelessness. These are just a few of the human responses to hard times, but these aren't godly attitudes either. Here's the question. Why do we have such a hard time handling both prosperity and adversity? Well, the Bible is full of insight about both. According to God's Word, the key to managing both prosperity and adversity is the same. And I'm talking about wisdom. Here's what Proverbs 1:7 says. You'll be familiar with this passage. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is where we have to start in good times and in bad. Fearing the Lord means to honor and worship God and obey His commands. The opposite of knowledge is foolishness, and the Bible comes down pretty hard on fools. Fools are those who despise wisdom and discipline. You see, God's word warns that fools will suffer shame, disaster, distress, and troubles. On the other hand, the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book, it reminds us that the benefits of wisdom are substantial. Listen to these few passages about wisdom and renew your mind as we think about this. Proverbs 2:9 says, "The wise will understand what is right and just and fair." Proverbs 3:6 is a promise, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." In Proverbs 3:13, we hear that blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Proverbs 3:35, the wisdom will inherit honor. Proverbs 16:6 promises that through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Obviously, living wisely is much better than foolishness. When we're wise, you give up serving and honoring yourself, and you begin serving and honoring God himself. Whether God in his wisdom has provided you with adversity or prosperity, you can face both with contentment. I think that's one of God's big ideas when we look at the counsel of Scripture related to our money is that we're to seek contentment, being willing to live within God's provision. It doesn't mean we can't try to improve our situation. We should through hard work, but we're content wherever God has us in that moment. We can be confident in God's love and provision. We can be prepared to deal with any financial circumstances. And when we're focused on what's really important, and that's following Jesus. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus Christ has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. This message was taken from our friend Jim Neuheiser's 31-day devotional entitled, Money Seeking God's Wisdom. You know, pursuing godly wisdom is a constant but rewarding effort. We all need to develop the mind of Christ and spend daily time in God's Word. That's the key. Well, we want to help you do that with a copy of this devotional with any gifts to MoneyWise this fall. You'll find biblical wisdom and scripture passages that speak to the specific situations and financial struggles, inspiring you to apply God's word to your life in practical ways day after day. If you'd like to pick up a copy of this 31-day devotional, again, it's called Money, Seeking God's Wisdom. Just simply go to moneywise.org, and right there on the top of the page, you can click the Give button. It will be our gift to you with any gift between now and the end of the year. Again, it's called Money, Seeking God's Wisdom. And you know, as we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial lives, we realize that God's Word is the source. It's where we need to go in terms of pulling out the principles that we can apply to our lives so that we can make confident decisions day to day that are timeless and rooted in truth, but also seek God's heart as it relates to our money. And that is the key. All right, let's head to back to the phones, 800-525-7000 to Louisiana. David, thanks for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, I heard about the fact that you can look up stocks that you have records of that you inherited, that
yes.
People have passed away. And I was wanting to know what the companies are named and their phone numbers that you could check into to see if these stocks I have available could be researched.
Mm. Yeah.
If you have that access to them.
Be happy to. Well, you know, here's the key is you certainly want to, if you have the certificates themselves, if you have the CUSIP number on the certificate, you've got a couple of options. Option one is to contact a brokerage firm, one of the major firms, give them the CUSIP number and see if they can connect that particular holding to your account. And then you can move away from the physical certificate and then have that deposited into your brokerage account. And that way it could be traded if you want to, and you no longer have to keep up with the actual certificate. You would endorse it over and actually get it deposited into that brokerage account. The other thing you could do would be to Google the company, find out if the company's still in existence, and just verify your holding, determine the market value of it. But I think the key is, David, to the best you can, I'd love to see you get this inserted or deposited into an account titled in whatever name the certificate is titled in so that it actually can be traded at any point if you want in the future and you're not relying on keeping up with that physical stock certificate. If you need somebody to actually do this research for you, that's where you'd want to reach out to one of these stock search companies that will do that for a fee. But if you have those certificates, you have all you need with the QSIP number to get more information about these holdings and get it deposited into a brokerage account in the same title as the certificate. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Okay. But I don't know. Some of the companies are sort of old. I don't know if they're still in business. I don't have any means to research any of this. So it would be helpful if you had available the number to some of these companies, the phone number to some of these companies, so I could call them and see what they have to say.
Yeah, I don't have any recommendations on that regard in terms of whenever we make a recommendation to a specific company, it's somebody that we've thoroughly vetted and have knowledge that they'll be a resource you want to take full advantage of. I don't have any in this particular case on a stock search company, and so I would be hesitant to give you a recommendation. We do that in lots of other areas, but it's after extensive research and making sure that it's a good recommendation for our listeners. So at this point, what I would do is contact a brokerage company if you have a relationship and ask for who they might recommend. Or if you, again, if you have those certificates, I don't think you really need anybody to do a search for you. It's really just a matter of getting those certificates out, opening an account at a brokerage firm like Schwab or Fidelity in the same title as the certificate itself, providing the QSIP number to the firm and seeing if they'll get you the information you need to verify the holding, and then you could get that endorsed over and deposited. Sorry, I couldn't give you specific recommendations on that, David, but I appreciate you calling today, sir, and to listening to the program. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We're about out of time. A couple more emails that came in recently. I'd love to try to tackle these before we round out our program today. This next one says, from Jennifer, I have a 403b retirement account. Pretty soon, I'll have to take my first required minimum distribution. With a Roth IRA or a 403b, can the money go straight to a church or charity without paying taxes? This is what I'd like to do. We talked about this with a previous caller today. You can't make a qualified charitable distribution, which is what I referenced earlier, from a 403b. And you don't have to take an RMD from a Roth IRA. So here's the thing, Jennifer, when you separate from your company, assuming you haven't already, you can roll it over to a traditional IRA. If you have separated, you could do that rollover now. And then you could make a qualified charitable distribution to satisfy a required minimum directly to a charity without triggering a taxable event. And that's the way I would recommend going about satisfying your RMD and blessing a ministry at the same time without creating any kind of tax consequence. So again, get that money into the IRA, traditional IRA, and then you can do what's called a qualified charitable distribution at that point. We appreciate you writing to us. And then finally today, Carol's asking about investing in gold and silver with the stock market performance the way it's been. Should she overweight? I wouldn't. Here's the thing. As much as I like the precious metals, having the hard asset, I don't like the long-term performance and the increased volatility versus stocks and bonds, even though the market's been under a lot of pressure as of late. So I wouldn't overweight there. I'd recommend a typical allocation of 5%, certainly no more than 10%. They have no cash flow. They don't receive any income. There are markups to buy and sell the physical gold with dealers. So I'd buy one of the tracking exchange traded funds that track the underlying movements of the price of gold or silver. I'd add it to your portfolio through an ETF and use that as an uncorrelated asset as a part of a diversified portfolio. But I wouldn't overweight there. Again, the long-term performance just isn't as good as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. But Carol, thank you for writing us to us today. We appreciate it. If you have a question, send it along to questions@moneywise.org. All right, folks, we're out of time. So thankful you were along with us today. I want to say thank you to Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Adam Suddeth. My team today, making it happen, couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a wonderful Monday. Come back and join us next time on MoneyWise, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.